And welcome back, henchmen, to another discussion, an informative packed episode of Crossover Collision, brought to you by The Villains Man, where we take two of your favorite characters from fiction and break down and tell the tape of their physical abilities, their skills, and their equipment, and their power sets before focusing on important combat situations that will declare victory between the two. As always, I'm your host, JBD, and with me is a professor and my partner in crime, Evan the Great.
Hey guys, this is, hope you guys are ready for a great episode, because I think we have another one that should be a masterpiece, hopefully, or it's going to be a disaster. We'll find out.
All right, well, here on Crossover Collision, we talk about the media these characters are involved in, so there will be spoilers. And we'll make an effort to warn you if something big's coming your way. And also, the fights discussed in our battleground or with our battleground questions were just our opinions, and our opinions are always right. Your opinions are always right, but we don't give a shit. Fuck you. Nothing here stated is fact unless you deem it. So I feel like we've really got to put our stamp on that this season.
Yeah.
But in case we could be wrong or you're wrong, you see us as professionals at your own risk. So today's battle, we're talking about two of the greatest antagonists in fictional history. We're talking about the Jedi Master himself, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Hello there.
Versus the Astar, or the Wizard, the champion, I should say, one of the champions of the Lord of the Rings series, the Middle-Earth series, Gandalf.
That was what they used to call me. Gandalf the Grey. That was my name. I am Gandalf the White.
So, Mr. Gray, what are your thoughts on this battle?
If they both were to fight each other, would it be called the Battle of the Sci-Fi Wizard?
I was going to say Battle of the Beards.
I like that, too.
So, my question is, if these two were to meet on peaceful terms, would Kenobi partake in some token leaf?
Absolutely. I think he would. Yes. He's probably a very stressed out individual.
Hey, you imagine what he has to do all the time. Yeah. Well, after dealing with a young, Princess Leia Skywalker, I bet he is stressed out.
Can you imagine how much they would have in common to talk to each other about? He's like, oh yeah, I got to bring this princess all over the place. And he's like, oh yeah, I had to bring this hobbit all over the place too. It sucked.
Yeah, right, kids.
They don't do nothing but get you in trouble.
Yeah. So the question is smoking weed against the Jedi Order?
I don't think so. Not in this, time frame, I guess.
Not in our multiverse. So for previous fights, neither one of these guys has ever been in previous fights. We've covered a ton of Star Wars characters, but never Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is the first time we've ever did a Tolkien character. And really, there's not a whole lot you could pull from Token. Maybe outside, that would be interesting in our type of podcast. Maybe outside of Legolas, which we've talked about Legolas in the past. So maybe, you know, at some point we might do Legolas. So, because we had a really interesting matchup with Legolas, we kind of just shelved it. Some talking points for the episode. Obviously, we're doing movie and television here with these two characters. No books, no cartoons. So, our prep time here for these are episodes 1 through 3 of Star Wars, the prequel trilogy, and the Kenobi series. And then we are doing The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings trilogies and the Ring of Power series. Evan, what'd you think about the Kenobi and Rings of Power series?
Oh, they was both really, really good, I guess, shows. Definitely, I liked them a lot. I liked the whole Kenobi series, like from start to finish. I liked it a lot. And then, no spoilers. And then on the Rings of Power, I liked the first couple episodes, and then it stalled. But then it had one of the greatest endings, in my opinion, the last two episodes, that anything that I like has had in a long time. So it was just as good. It just started really hot and it finished really hot. The other one was kind of good all the way through.
That swerve at the end of Rings of Power. Yeah. They're like, here's a swerve. Oh, here's the real swerve. And I was just like, the first one, everybody knew it was wrong. That second one, though, I was just like, holy shit, spoiler alert, I'm like, this is Sauron. Yep. Oh my god, you know, it just kind of blew my mind. What do you think had the better finale? Obi-Wan with the battle showdown with him and Vader? The emotional battle with him and Anakin, or Rings of Power, where we realize this is Gandalf and this is Sauron?
Man, I don't really know. They're both really good because you feel the intensity of the way those shows were going to end, because you just feel it. You feel like there was so much passion. There's so much unknown. I think there was a lot more hate in Kenobi. Like the reason for that. And I really, think the other really one was discovery. Like discovering everything was like, oh my gosh, that's so great.
Is there hate? Is the hate more in Kenobi than what it is? Because think about it. Gadriel had been hunting Sauron and didn't realize that she made a trusted ally of him. And he used her.
Yeah, that's what I guess the hate at the end would be, she would accelerate. But throughout the show, it was actually like a plan. It was more planned out. I like the ending of Rings of Power more, but but to your question, I don't really know. Like, it was both really good, but I think I would like the Rings of Power a little bit more, because I think that talk, because I was even watching these and I was like taking a little mental notes, and I'm like, dude, I think this dude's awesome, you know? And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, he's not good. It caught me off guard. And then the switch back and forth, and they're trying to find out. And then when you find out who Sauron is and who this is, or who you think it is, which obviously is Gandalf, you're just like, wow, that was, I don't know if they meant for it to be like the earth that was supposed to be how it was supposed to be, because I know they added a lot of that stuff, but I was like, it makes sense to me and I love it.
I love them both.
But Vader and all that stuff in Kenobi series, oh my gosh, it was so good. Kenobi, the way that Kenobi is portrayed in that, it shows that he is one man. He's almost like a Argon for the Star Wars universe. I don't know how to explain that. That's just what I felt like. They portrayed him really good doing that protector type role, being the actual protector. And then in the Lord of the Rings series, and then like we cover Gandalf, he is a protector, but he's almost like a quest giver. Like, he tells you what you need and the information you need to go with it, but then you go do your thing. And then whenever he has to show up, something, he's like the Watcher showing up. If he's going to be there, something is about to go down, and you're going to need a powerful wizard. So,
well, you know, comparing Kenobi to Aragorn is actually good, because they're both reluctant to take the roles they need to be. Aragorn doesn't want to be king. He's denying his heritage. And Kenobi needs to be the Jedi Master that he needs to be to battle the dark side, and he doesn't want to do it. And they're forced into those roles and realize that they need to do those things. So that's a pretty good comparison. Kudos on that. So without further ado, go ahead and read us the rules of Crossover Collision.
All right. So rules of our Crossover Collision, we have three. The first rule is the hosts cover generated questions regarding specific combat situations between the combatants. While answering or bringing up counter questions, only standard feats, powers, and abilities and equipment seen used by specific versions can be referenced. No plot-induced stupidity, plot armor, or MacGuffins are allowed. Therefore, every reference brought up needs to be within reasonability and common throughout the combatant's history. So that's a lot for rule number one. Rule number two, each Crossover Collision allows no knowledge or combatants, prep time, or outside interference from allies. For those who really liked our show, I think what makes it very interesting. Sorry, I got a little tongue-tied there, but rule number two always makes it interesting, because they do not know any knowledge of each other. No prep time.
Remember, we're still knocking off the rust here. You're all right.
Oh, yeah. And rule number three, each host declares who they believe wins a Crossover Collision by which the combatant has the best chance of winning by death, KO, or incapacitation. If the result is a split decision, each host referred to the point system in the values given based on the tell of the tape and discussed questions.
So now that you've got rules, let's break into my tongue-tied position, which I'm probably going to mess up here a lot. Let's talk about the powers, abilities, and equipment of both of our combatants.
Get ready to kick butt.
First, we're going to start with Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obviously, he has the power of the Force behind him. May the Force be with you, which gives him, obviously, Force sensitivity. It enhances his physical attributes. It enhances also his senses. It gives him basically telekinesis, and he knows the Jedi mind trick. Originally, he was trained in Ataru as a Padawan for his lightsaber style, but moved over to style 3 known as Sorazu when he became a master. Obviously, being a Jedi master, he's also a master swordsman. And for the most part, he's a master combatant. And not that it matters in this battle, but he is an expert fighter pilot. As every Jedi has, the only equipment Obi-Wan Kenobi carries on him for this fight is a lightsaber.
You can't win. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Now, let's move off to Gandalf the Grey, or the White. I guess we'll go ahead and say this now. We are considering Gandalf as the White for this battle, because we're taking everything as a whole.
Yep.
And Gandalf is known as a star, or commonly known as a wizard in the Tolkien universe. He's one of the 5 main Malar spirits sent to Earth to battle Sauron. And these Malar, they're bound to the physical bodies that resemble elderly men. That's why Gandalf always will look old. Now, Gandalf, being a magic user, can summon and cast spells. And we're going to put these in RPG terms, because me and Evan are tabletop RPG guys. And it's honestly, and tell me if you disagree, this is probably the best way to describe Gandalf's powers.
100%. It makes you understand Gandalf.
So if you have any questions about any of these spells that I'm about to list, type in whatever I say, 5e or Pathfinder, and you'll probably come up with the spells. He has telepathy, shatter, which he can shatter objects, speak with animals, misty steps, which is kind of a short range teleportation that can be questionable depending on who you're talking to. He has witch bolt, which is a bolt of energy, thunder wave, which is a shock wave. He can basically form around him to throw off enemies. He can dispel magic. He has telekinesis. He can cast the spell daylight. He can also shed a light in the darkness, as in like on his staff. He has a thing called resilient spear, which basically comes down to a force field. He also casts shield to block incoming attacks. He can heat metal. He can remove curses. He can locate creatures, cure wounds. He can control the elements, which seems to be fire, earth, water, and wind. And he can also rebuke the undead, which means he can turn the undead away from him through fear and power. He's also is an expert swordsman, and he's also the grandmaster of the multiverse when it comes to fireworks.
I love it.
But he doesn't have fireworks for the fight. So, for the equipment...
Distraction.
Yeah, distraction. For the equipment of Gandalf the White, he has Glamoring, a.k.a. the Foe Hammer. I love the name for that sword, the Foe Hammer. Even though it's a sword, it glows when goblins or orcs are near. Don't have to worry about that in this fight. It also summons lightning to empower the blade. He has Narya, the Ring of Fire, because we just talked about the Rings of Power, where we get to see the 3 Rings of Elves. It stays invisible on its finger and can show up when he wants, or if magically forced to show the ring. It inspires others to resist tyranny, domination, despair. Don't have to worry about that here. It hides the wearer from scrying. It resists aging, which he's already an old man, kind of seems pointless. And it has the control of and protection from fire. He also has his wizard staff, which is created from white ash wood, and it's the focus of his magic.
I am a servant of the secret fire, wielder of the flame of Arnor. You shall not pass!
Now, let's move on to the tale of the tape between both of these combatants, Mr. Grape.
The battle for survival begins.
As always, you start us off when we talk about the tail of the cape. Who has the advantage in strength, in your opinion?
Just going by, I mean, I think this is pretty accurate, but thinking of what they can do, how they would combat against others, I think Obi-Wan has an advantage in strength, because I think he uses more the Force to empower his strikes. We talked about this with other Jedis before. The Force is used to generate speed and accuracy and power, I think. And he can do it with the best of them. So I think that he would definitely be stronger. That's in my personal opinion.
All right.
But there's magics that can empower. Sorry. There is magics that can empower Gandalf, but that would reenact him casting a spell on himself or doing something like that. But overall, I think it's Gandalf. Obi-Wan, I mean. Sorry to cut you off.
Okay, well, here's my thing. Without any type of magical enhancements or enhancing himself with the Force, Obi-Wan, I don't think there's a lot of strength there with him. I mean, we've seen him kick around droids. We've seen him kick around Jango Fett. He's been able to hold Jango Fett back with a ripcord when he's trying to fly away with him in an Attack of the Clones. We've seen him take out Mandalorians with some kicks and some throws. But here's a big difference between him and Gandalf. We've seen Gandalf split a boulder in two with a swing of his staff. Doesn't seem like he's using magic. So I don't know if that's just how durable and how strong the staff is, or if that's just the power of his swing.
Man, that is a good question, because I always figured the staff is what did that because of the power it withholds. But then again,
we don't see magic.
Yeah, you don't see magic.
Now, I'm going to back this up, and I'm going to say this is why Gandalf has the advantage in strength.
Okay.
He staggered the cave troll in Fellowship of the Ring with his staff by swinging it like a club.
And he did.
That troll is a good, like, 12 foot tall and easily at least a ton. So I think that Gandalf has the advantage in strength.
You know, I like to go back your way. Usually we don't do this on Tell the Tape, but the fact that you don't see him cast a spell in either one of those, even though he's using a magical staff. But if we're going RPG terms, magical staffs, usually on a spellcaster, they don't give them strength. So his magical empowerment, especially being of a Lord of the Rings character, he definitely would be stronger.
But I'm that staff could have like a +1/+2 to attack and damage. I'm just saying. But it doesn't.
I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm going to go Gandalf on mine. I think you have convinced me in the Tell the Tape switch my strength category.
Oh, man. Early in the season, already doing swaying you. All right, let's move on. It is good. Let's go on and move on to durability. Who do you think he has advantage between Kenobi and Gandalf?
Now, this one is really fun because I broke it down the best I could using durability. I think Obi-Wan, you know, and Gandalf. Obi-Wan's durability using the Force and using... Here's a strange take on it, though. He's more of, we talked about this in some of the other episodes, I can recall, where Obi-Wan's more of deflection, getting out of the way, using dexterity-type moves to not get hit in combat. And Gandalf, he takes hit straight on, but he uses magic, like the shield spell, and different things to push his opponent back, and different things to weaken his opponent, which anything that weakens his opponent or pushes him back, it increases his durability because he's not going to get hit as hard. So in theory, I think that it could go either way. But durability to me, and we discussed this, is actually getting hit. And if who got hit can withstand more, I think Gandalf, because you're actually hitting up against the shield when the other one has the Force telekinesis to push you back or something or block it. But I think Gandalf can actually take hits more because of the shield that he can cast, the ability of the staff, how strong it is to withstand blows. So actually, I think Gandalf would have a slight advantage here.
Now you say that, but even though Kenobi can use the Force to halt attacks.
He can.
But we're talking about pure physical durability here.
This is interesting because of we haven't even got into the questions on how magic / the Force react against one another, which is going to be an interesting topic on all this, including the questions.
Now, there's one thing, in my opinion, that separates these two when it comes to durability. Now, a lot of times we see them kind of take the same types of damage. Like we've seen Kenobi get thrown by explosions. We see these guys getting hit by heavy duty characters, like pretty strong characters, and get up. And we've seen them mainly fall through like long falls. Like Maul kicked Kenobi off a platform. He fell all the way down to another one. We've seen Gandalf get thrown into walls by Sauron's TK. They have that awesome TK battle in the with the two towers. We see that. Now, here's what separates the two guys, just physically. Is Gandalf fought the freaking Balrog for days before
it's funny. I have that in a side note.
For days. And I'm not saying that Kenobi couldn't do that, but we've not seen that. So when we're talking feats, Gandalf's big feat right there is he fought the Balrog for days. And you know he's beat up. For one, it kills him, but he wins. And he looks, I mean, they fall through the cavern, they hit the mountain, they go through the water. I mean, the movie does an excellent job at the beginning of when we see the fight. But even when you're reading the book, it's even epic. Yep. So I think that Gandalf, for that reason alone, has the physical durability just for that. And I'm not trying to shy Kenobi. Kenobi's pretty freaking tough. Look how much damage he takes against Vader when he throws all the stones and stuff at him at the end of the Kenobi series. But I'm going to say that Gandalf has the physical durability advantage. So let's move on to speed. Who do you think has the advantage?
This is kind of like the easiest one for me, I guess, but I could be swayed. I think when you're talking speed, just watch the way both of them move. Gandalf is not slow by no means. He's able to almost predict what his opponents are going to do and then block it or cast a spell. So it's like his awareness is higher than Obi-Wan's awareness is at certain that. But as far as like movement speed, I think Kenobi really just a lot of Jedi's fight with this bounce, this elegant moving around using. So I guess what I'm saying is in melee speed, which is basically what I think this would be. I think Obi-Wan is much quicker in melee speed, like bouncing around, doing stuff. But as far as playing on speed as defense wise, Gandalf is only almost like he can withstand when things are coming. And speaking of the Baylor, which you talked about already, I had it at a sidebar, but we might as well bring it up here. In D&D terms, we both challenge one of these. They are not slow creatures. They are big and powerful and very fast.
No, you made me fight a Balrog by myself one time.
So what I'm getting at is even though Gandalf appears to be an old man, he is not an old man. He is a wizard. He's very powerful. He can stop a lot of stuff. So it's weird. It's hard for me to say it because I think Obi-Wan is faster with speed. But I think the reaction time of Gandalf and with spells can hinder that. To where he's almost faster because he's going to counter and then go to the next move before Obi-Wan can do anything. But Obi-Wan is quicker using the Force and his Jedi training and with the blade. But Gandalf being so fast with his magic and his almost predictability almost makes them neutral on speed. So I really don't know if I could swing either way. I think Obi-Wan might be faster, but I think Gandalf's ability to predict and use magic makes him just as fast. For that purpose. So I'm going to say I don't give either one of them anything here. They're kind of neutral to be balanced.
Well, there's some really good stuff to compare these guys with, and that's deflection. Gandalf the White shows up, he blocks Gamli's throwing axe and then deflects Legolas's arrow. And if you know anything about elves in the Tolkien universe, they're the Mary Sues. They're the best at everything. They're the fastest, the strongest, the most agile, the most beautiful. They're the best at everything. And now he did blind them right beforehand. I mean, right when everything was going on. But he did deflect them. Now, there is a pretty good feat you can kind of compare with Obi-Wan Kenobi's just general speed. And then that's not enhancing any type of speed with the Force. But in the Hobbit trilogy, he blinds Azog. And his orcs, and then he fleds. Now, it's not, this is where the whole, where people think that he teleported. But, you know, maybe he used Misty Step because he was a good distance away. But if he ran in that distance, because you don't really know, that would put him comparable to Legolas on speed. And we've seen how fast Legolas is. I mean, look at the beginning of, well, I'll put it this way. Any long, drawn-out fight in the Hobbit series, you really see how fast Legolas is. Think about the river fight with the orcs when the dwarves are going down the river, or figure the final battle in with Azog and the orcs on the ice. You know, he's just everywhere. So depending on how you see that, teleportation makes him fast, or he could be generally that fast. Now, here's where I think Kenobi has the advantage on speed. you can say any Jedi is comparable to Legolas in speed, right? Now, here's where you have to ask the question. Is Gandalf fast enough to block blaster bolts, multiple blaster bolts with one weapon for multiple shooters?
I don't think using his weapon to block it, but using spells, yes, but not his weapon. I don't think so.
Okay, well, see, spells cover a whole large area. Kenobi does it with one weapon, and I think Kenobi has the advantage in speed.
And speaking of speed, you just bring something up. If Legolas was a Jedi, he would probably be the greatest Jedi to ever live.
That's how
agility wise he is. He's so, oh my gosh, just think of all the stuff he does. Yeah, I think he would be and would he have a bow that can shoot Jedi beams? I don't know, but
it's kind of like when people draw.
In The Mandalorian, they make the steel staff. What if they gave him arrows of that?
There you go. I was about to say, you always see people draw Michelangelo with like lightsaber nunchucks, you know. So
I'm going to put that out on Twitter. I want to see if somebody would draw that up for us. That'd be great.
It would be. Okay, let's talk melee combat. Who do you think has the advantage? Because both these guys fight with melee weapons.
Oh, boy. Okay, so going over everything, kind of we talked about everything with their speed, their durability, how long, like, you know, Gandalf can fight the Baylor and he can do this and spell stop that. And then Obi-Wan being a trained lightsaber in many different forms, and his speed and his reaction time with the lightsaber is almost unheard of. So in melee, they both are very good because Gandalf's ability to use his magic, which is what he is, his magic is like the force for, you know, Obi-Wan. So when he uses it, it really helps him in melee combat not to get damaged, you know, or die. I mean, he could, but it really slows everything down. So it's almost like Obi-Wan's offense and reaction time is better in melee, but Gandalf's durability and predictability using magic is better. So this is another one where I can't go either way right now. Like, they both are incredible, but Gandalf, I think the Baylor feat is really good because he's able to hold that thing off for so long. But then again, you got to think, man, how many times Obi-Wan fought other Sith Lords or other people trying, or he's doing two things at once, protecting somebody while fighting. But Gandalf does the same thing. So really, if you break it down, I don't think I can go either way. I think that they're pretty balanced when it comes to this, but there is a difference. I just thought about it. I'm going to bring it up a little bit later, but might as well bring it up a little bit now. Gandalf don't need, as long as he's got his staff, he's good to go. And if the staff falls away, he can always pull it back to him with magic. But if the lightsaber gets pulled away, he could use telekinesis through the force to get it back. But I think, like, it's more of a hindrance if he don't have his lightsaber than if Gandalf don't have his primary weapon. But I don't know if that's going to come into play. So I'm kind of balanced, but I'm kind of thinking that he really needs the lightsaber to be really good because he's really good with it. He's really fast. And Gandalf, he's way more powerful with his magical artifacts. But without him, I think he can still manage a little bit. So I'm still going to go balanced on this.
Well, here's the thing. You got to think, Jedis are trained in hand-to-hand combat.
They are.
He took on Jango Fett hand-to-hand without a lightsaber. A freaking Mandalorian.
I know, but that's just not equal to the Baylor or any other things that Gandalf has went hand to hand.
Okay,
with.
I get what you're saying.
I get what you're saying about fisticuffs. He did it without his.
You know, and okay, I'm gonna wrap what you said up in a nice little bowl. Okay, sure. Gandalf fought the Balrog, big bad, the evil. Basically, that's what they are: evil versions of this star. Pretty much, kind of what the Balrogs are. So he battled that thing, right? So can you think of any other big main bad that Gandalf has taken on by himself?
Not by himself. Okay. Most of his stuff, sorry to cut you off, is like on the battlefields because we're doing
party battles.
Yeah, he's got party there, but he's doing a lot of stuff by himself during the party battle, hitting multiple foes. But them foes are not as strong as a Baylor.
Okay, that's really true.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at, Balrog, one big foe that we know of. Kenobi has defeated many big foes by himself. Darth Maul. He's beat Anakin before he was Vader. He stalemated Vader. He's defeated Grievous. He's disarmed Grievous, Anakin, Dooku, Ventress. And like I said, he's taken on Jango Fett hand-to-hand. Here's the difference between him and Gandalf in that Balrog fight. Gandalf took days to beat a powerful foe as equal to him. Kenobi's finishing them off in a matter of minutes.
Yep.
That's why I think Kenobi is a better melee fighter.
I can get your point there, yes.
So that's what makes me side to him better. He seems to be able to finish a fight in a more fashionable amount of time than he would the Baylor. Now the difference though is the Baylor is a giant, big ass shadow demon of fire. So it's probably a lot harder to kill. And that also could be the bunch of fluff for the story wise, you know what I mean? But I do think that Kenobi consistently beats characters equal to him more often than what we've seen with Gandalf. And he is primarily a melee fighter than Gandalf. So that's why I think Kenobi has the advantage there. But now let's talk about ranged combat. Who do you think has the advantage?
For me, this one is kind of like, I don't know. I feel like I'm leaning heavy Gandalf in here, but I'm really not leaning heavy. I just think that range, like on mine, I got for melee, I think Gandalf might a little bit, but also I see a lot of Obi-Wan stuff. But for this one, Obi-Wan does have the Force. He's fought all of these different Jedis and all of these different encounters where he's using, you know, range elements, I guess you could say. But I think Gandalf's array of spell casting, being a wizard, being a protector, having all this raw power, gives him a lot more options with range. I think that his range with the magic and the things he can do with it can do more than just shoot bolts. They can grab things, they can heat things, they can electrify things, they can make things turn. Like, it's crazy. I don't think it's Gandalf, just personally.
So here's my thing. You brought up Gandalf has this wide array of diversity and magic at his disposal at range. I mean, look at the tail of the tape, right? And he also has TK, which basically Kenobi has. But here's my thing. TK is Kenobi's primary spell, if you know, to put it in what, you know, layman's terms here, which he's perfected in both offense and defense. So Gandalf is a jack of all trades, master of none, when it comes to his range repertoire, you know, kind of just to put it out there, where Kenobi is a master of one thing and he excels at it. So it's what do you think trumps what there in a ranged battle? And it kind of makes me split between the two, because Evan the Great, if you're the arcane trickster who's got all these offenses and defensive things that, you know, give you a diverse thing, but if I have this main big bad offensive defensive weapon that is the same thing that's hard to overcome, can all that diversity overcome it? So that's my thing, and I think it's almost a split there at ranged.
I agree. Could definitely be.
All right. So, and that's the thing. These are just our opinions, and sometimes we sway one another. Now, we brought this up last season, and I'm assuming we're going to continue it this season, is the plot and motivation for the fight. What would bring these two into a conflict?
Oh, it's, I mean, easily what could bring these two into a conflict is Gandalf being, you know, a spell go awry or something goes not to his liking. He winds up in a galaxy far, far away. I think immediately his power structure would be noticed by the Force wielders or Sith, if that be, and they would not know if he was good or evil. And when they see the power he has, they'd want to bring him in. I mean, that's what I think they would want to do. They wouldn't want to let this get into the dark side. And I think Gandalf is not going to let anybody bring him in because he don't know where he's at. And he will defend himself. I think that could be a very interesting story, actually.
So I kind of got a little story with this, and it's kind of basically what you've kind of said. So here we go. With the One Ring destroyed, Sauron needs to regain a physical form to use what remained of his power so he could continue the War of Middle-earth. So this happens at the end of Lord of the Rings. This will require someone who could easily be manipulated, had darkness brewing within their soul, and a measurable amount of power to not be destroyed by possession. After scouring the multiverse, Sauron found the perfect host, Anakin Skywalker. With his dark magic, he opens a gateway between realities and sought to possess the Jedi. Little did Sauron know, Anakin's master Obi-Wan Kenobi sensed a new evil power outside of the Force as he felt his brother's anguish through it. As he arrived to find his student battling the spirit of Sauron, an elderly man stepped through the gateway, claiming he had sensed the Dark Lord's power within the ruins of Radar Dor and came to investigate only to find a gateway that led here. Announcing himself as Gandalf the White, he informs the Jedi Master of the war he had just helped win in his home of Middle-earth, and this must be Sauron's plan, if all else failed to regain the One Ring. Since in the darkness within Anakin's soul, the wizard tells Kenobi that they must put him out of his misery before he becomes corrupted and gains more power than either of them can hope to stop together. Refusing to believe Gandalf out of love for his brother and trust in the Force, Obi-Wan draws his lightsaber.
That is a really good and almost well written.
Well, man, I've been trying to write for years now, so I thought that was pretty good. So
very good.
Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we're going to play a promo from one of our podcasting friends. And when we get back, we're going to jump to the battle questions between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Gandalf the White.
Have you ever found yourself confused about the current state of the MCU or whatever the hell is happening with the DC universe?
Do you often have no idea what the hell the difference is between craft beer and that Bud Ice stuff at the gas station?
Well, then look no further.
We present to you Hops Geek News.
We're yet another geek and beer podcast in an already oversaturated market.
All right. We drink and we pretend we know things.
More often than not, we don't really know things, but we do talk some really great topics, and we most definitely can drink.
We'll deliver you news and then dive into any random topic you might have never knew you actually were passionate about.
With lots of fun facts about beer.
And from Marvel to DC and Star Wars, and to why Die Hard is most definitely a Christmas movie.
Which it is. Basically anything that our spouses are sick of hearing us talk about. Join us on YouTube or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
New episodes weekly. Just search Hops News.
And welcome back to Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man, myself, JVD, and Evan the Great, as we're getting ready to discuss the battle between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Gandalf the White. Mr. Great, are you ready?
I think I am ready to dive into madness.
Who will survive?
Engage!
So our first question is, in a telekinetic duel, who holds the advantage?
Yes, so this is an interesting one because we kind of talked about the ability to do telekinesis, and for the Force, that is Kenobi's, Obi-Wan Kenobi's primary thing that he does with the Force is telekinetic, moving things, grabbing things, pulling things, pushing things, and he's very strong with it. He's a very strong Force user. He's mastered this technique. He's fairly, really good with it. And then you got to take, you got to look at Gandalf's ability to use a telekinetic duel. This is like holding things back or pushing things up. So a lot of Gandalf's magic is casting, kind of like we were talking about, using the spells like shield and force wall and different stuff that you see in these RPG games. He does it in the movies to hold big things back. But is that technically telekinesis? Because that's more of a field he's putting up. As far as him telekinesis and grabbing things and moving it around, how accurate is he? So I think in a telekinetic duel, I think Obi-Wan's telekinetic duel, his telekinesis powers is more mastered in the art of telekinesis. But I don't think he's ever used it against somebody who can use a force to push back like Gandalf can. So I think Gandalf kind of counters his telekinesis mastery with his way to use telekinesis on the defense to push things back. I think Obi-Wan's better at pushing things forward, and that actually makes a lot of sense to me. And Gandalf is almost pushing things back using, walls and domes and things, using the power of force to push those things backwards. So I kind of think that Obi-Wan has an advantage, but he's hitting almost like I was, you know, he's almost hitting something he can't get around and can't get through, because I think Gandalf's magic is a little bit more powerful, but Obi-Wan's mastery over telekinesis is more powerful. I don't know if he can get through using it to battle against Gandalf. So what do you got, JBD?
All right. So, obviously you would think that you would see Kenobi use telekinesis more because he's a Jedi. There's a lot of Gandalf using telekinesis throughout the series. And most of the time, you know, we're seeing Kenobi throw droids around because that was your thing in the prequels, droids. And he's not throwing just one droid. He's throwing multiple droids. And if we kind of added the Clone Wars, it would probably be a little bit more powerful, some of the heavier stuff we would see him do. And this is how powerful his telekinesis is with the Force, is once Anakin lets the dark side take him over in Revenge of the Sith, he is almost equal. I should say not almost. He is pretty equal to Anakin. And even when he battles Vader at the end of his own series, he is extraordinarily powerful. Because think about it, he gets buried under all the rock and he just busts out and just hurls him back at Vader. Very, very beautiful scene in that show. I love it. It's amazing. Now, Gandalf the Grey, here's my thing. Obviously, in the Hobbit series, we see him hold off people with telekinesis. With Ozog and the orcs. When he goes to the destroyed keep, we see that there. And we see him match Saruman as the Grey, as Gandalf the Grey. And for most of their duel, and here's the thing, as Saruman the White, he's considered the strongest of them. Gandalf holds his own, and he's supposed to be stronger. And eventually, Saruman gets the jump on him. So here's what you have to compare, is Anakin's TK to Saruman's TK. Because here's the thing. Think about the Duel of the Fates going on in Revenge of the Sith, where they're floating on the little thing, and they're blocking up with their lightsabers, and then they're trying to push each other off of the Force, and their hands is literally like a hand's width away from each other. That's how equal with the Force when it comes to telekinesis Obi-Wan was with Anakin at the time. And like I said, and then you have the Saruman and Gandalf thing. They're throwing each other around with telekinesis. I love it. It's like Dracula and Magneto is sometimes how I see that, instead of two wizards. And so, you know, so the question is, I guess, how do you see telekinesis in one world compared to telekinesis in the other? Because we know the Force is the most powerful thing in Star Wars. Is the wizardry of Gandalf the most powerful thing, or is it the power of Sauron that is the most powerful thing in Lord of the Rings? So you have to take that into account. Like, you have to compare your universes and what you see. And that's one of our big things on this show, is that's why we try to stick to just one version of the character and try to compare and contrast what you see. Now, on those two levels, to me, they seem pretty equal when it comes to that. Now, here is the one thing that I think really helps kind of divide that up. And that's if you see this as a problem. Is Kenobi uses a hand for telekinesis. Gandalf has to use his staff. So if you can get rid of that staff, he can't use telekinesis that we know of. Now, that's just in those movies. Now, with Lord of the Rings, The Ring of Power, we've seen Gandalf, and this is kind of what plays into this with the last episode, is he does the whole thunder wave thing throughout the series with his arm. And we've seen that it basically turned his arm black, and then he used the water to heal his wounds. He turned it into ice. Yep. Well, the staff is a focus, is what it is. So he can, at that time, we see him use magic, but he needs the staff for focus. So now you have to think, how powerful can he use that magic without his staff, just as telekinesis? Because we know it's possible. You just have to use some of your imagination there. But for the most part, we see that a lot of his telekinesis was used with the staff. How well is it without using the staff, without that focus? So that's the main thing when it comes to this question, in my opinion. Got that's anything actually, else?
That actually brought up a lot of good points about Gandalf's raw power watching the show and then adding the staff.
Well, yeah, you're saying, he has raw power. It's more focused when he uses the staff.
It's like so, Cyclops without his visor.
That's a very good way to put that. But here's the thing. We don't know how well he is at using the magic in the earlier movies. We're getting these characters, as we're talking about them, in reverse order. We've already seen what Gandalf is capable of. We're getting how he got there. With Kenobi, we know what he's capable of. It's just, what is he capable of as he gets older and is learning his connection to the Force? So that's my thing. So it's like, how well do you portray Gandalf's ability to use telekinesis without the focus of staff? Because we know he can. We've seen it in Rings of Power that he can still do magic without the staff. Because that's when he takes one of the sister's staves and then he destroys it. And then, you know, because it helps him focus the spell. So you got anything else you want to add?
Not really. This is a very tough time. It's going to get tough.
This is why we have this matchup. Second question. How does Gandalf defend against the lightsaber? Because that is a big thing when it comes to fighting Jedi and Sith. If we've learned anything, it's how do you defend against a lightsaber, which practically cuts through anything. What do you got?
Okay, so this one is a question, like you've just stated. I think we talked about it. It's one of the villains demands, a crossover collision items that is very, very high on the power scale, and that is a lightsaber. If a lightsaber hits anybody, I think almost including Gandalf, it's going to score a deathly blow. I think that if it hit them, it would be bad. But the question at stake is, how does Gandalf defend against the lightsaber? So, of course, there's many ways that you would come up with that he would try to defend against it. He has a lot of different magical abilities. And using this magic to his, advantage against his opponent, how good is it? I think a lot of the magics that he uses can keep him back to defend against the lightsaber. I think you got to keep distance with that. If he breaks into the ranks, I think he could score a killing blow on Gandalf or stop him or, you know, any means. So a lot of the stuff that he's going to have to use is defensive spells, like shield spells, force spells, teleportation spells. But then it got to me thinking, and I thought about this. I did a little bit of research, not a ton, but there's multiple answers. That's why we're really not going to dive into it too deep. But I'm thinking, what is a lightsaber's hilt made out of? Because it sounds like it's made out of wood and metal, and I don't know how accurate that is, or a wood that could be as strong as metal. And there's a couple different variations on it, for what I've gathered. And you do know that some hilts can be destroyed. Some hilts can have different things happen to it. But is Gandalf going to notice that the lightsaber is coming from the hilt, or if it's part of the weapon that he's using? That is something I don't know how, if Gandalf could tell that, if he stopped that, if he could make it go away. But he does have, like JVD stated, he does have a lot of ways to manipulate objects, like heating them, trying to pull them away, trying to do something to his hand where he can't hold it. Gandalf has access to all of these, and I think that is his best option, is to try to stop him from wielding that lightsaber, somehow to slow him down. Now, if it's metal, which I think is kind of a mixture of both, to tell you the truth, that would be my take on it, is what it's made out of. And can it heat? If it's metal, yes, it can heat. If it's wood, would it catch on fire? Like, could Gandalf heat it using his fire properties? And he has a lot of rings that he can manipulate fire with as well. So is the heat coming off that thing, could he manipulate it into a fire and catch that thing on fire? These are all things I've really looked into. So if Gandalf can do any of those things, he should be okay. But I think it's going to be very difficult because of the speed that he wields this lightsaber with. I don't know if he can concentrate on it long enough to make anything happen. So this is Gandalf's major problem against him, is if he strikes him with a lightsaber, he will die. If you strike Obi-Wan with a spell, he may not die. Like, multiple spells, yes. There is some things he could do that maybe, but the lightsaber is auto-kill. Like, I think it auto-heats over if he stabs Gandalf with this lightsaber. So I think Gandalf is going to know that. He fights all kinds of foes, like we talked about, the Balrog, all the different armies and the different weapons and magical things. So I think he would know that he needs to try to get this weapon from him. And Gandalf, and on the flip side, Obi would know, hey, I got this lightsaber, and I'm going to use it because it's going to be able to end him. Because that's what Jedi would do if he seen this as a threat. So that was really long-winded. But to get through it, Gandalf's defense against the lightsaber would be magic and magic only. I don't think physically he could do anything to stop this thing. But with the magic, he has the solution to possibly get rid of it. But I think it might be harder than said than done. And that's why I lean on Gandalf would really struggle to make this happen. But if he did, he would have an easy advantage. But if he don't, he could get killed in melee combat.
I like that.
That was a lot to say.
I like that you brought up heating lightsaber hilt, which, yeah, that would work. It's metal heating it. Yeah, I think he drops that.
That's why I looked into it so much to see, because some people said it's mixed with wood, but it's got metal properties. Some people said it's all metal. By looking at the movies, it's obviously metal.
Yeah, it's obviously metal, yeah.
And I think he could heat that up because of the ring of projection of fire, right? He could control, and he can also defend against fire with the ring he's got on. So there's got to be a heat source coming from that lightsaber when it pops on. And I think that he could control that to make it go into the hill. But I think it might be hard to locate that while he's moving around so fast. But sorry to cut you off.
Well, it's, don't hold me to the science, but it's like energy manipulated through the kyber crystal by the force that ignites it. And the, okay, hold up. So what you're saying is, do you think with the Elven Ring that he could control the lightsaber?
No, like he can use the
energy blade of the lightsaber?
Like the heat coming off of it, I think he could maybe use that to do the heat, basically, to heat it up.
Okay, I think well, lightsaber,
make it super hot, like even hotter.
A lightsaber itself, the blade, is heatless because the plasma energy inside of the blade is surrounded by a magnetic sheath. And when the magnetic sheath hits combat, when it makes contact with something, it breaks that barrier and you get hit with the energy.
Yeah. I just don't know if that energy produced to come out of the lightsaber have any heat in the hilt is what I'm getting at.
Oh, in the hilt? I don't think so.
Okay.
If it isn't, it might be protected by what the hilt of the lightsaber is made out of, too.
I think he could definitely heat it up, but I thought he could maybe use that to superheat it.
That's interesting.
If it was heat inside of it. I don't know if it does or not.
Well, he could heat metal.
Yeah. And so I just know if that would supercharge it if that was inside.
Yeah, he could just heat the metal himself if he wanted to. See, one thing I thought about is, because the ring allows him to control fire, do you consider plasma for a lightsaber fire? But it's energy.
It's energy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's connected by a metal sheath. So I don't think a magnetic sheath around it. So I don't think he could manipulate. That was one thing I actually looked into. But here's what I've got. You brought up magic, and I've got a lot of magic stuff here that Kenobi that would be useful against Kenobi that could help Gandalf. For one, let's look at the magical barrier that protected him against the Balrog sword, which was made of fucking fire. It shattered when it hit his barrier. It's got to hold up against a lightsaber easily. Has to. So that also keeps Kenobi at a good distance, too, because that thing was about 6-7 feet away from him. And we also know that he can expand that barrier if he needs to. So he's got protection there. Also, close quarters. What is one of Gandalf's favorite tactics? He likes to cast light, or daylight is what it looks like, off his staff. And blind people. You blind Kenobi, he's got to trust in the Force. how well does the Force use against magical spells? Because the Force is in everybody, right? That's what they say. The Force is in all living things. So sure, he could sense Kenobi, but could he sense one of these bolts of Eldritch energy coming at him?
That's a good question, because has the Force ever encountered magic like this?
Yeah, and it's, you have to, and that's the thing. It's a separate universe, so there's no such thing as, which I think they've gotten rid of midichlorians, but I mean, there's no such thing as Force in there. But even if he could just sense beings, could he sense the energy coming after him? You know what I mean? Because that's Eldritch magic. It's not plasma from a blaster. You know, so blinding him could be very useful. Now, here's the thing. With a word, he, as the White, this is when he's Gandalf the White, he shatters Saruman's staff. What stops him from doing it to the hilt of a lightsaber if he can?
That is what I was researching in, to see if he can shatter the lightsaber. But I think that in his world, shattering something, he knows what it is, and he can cast a spell upon it and then shatter it apart. Does that work on something that he does not know? Because the metal slash wood that I've researched is in the hilt. I don't think Gandalf knows what the properties are. So would the magic react to it the same it would in his world?
Okay, here's how I see it. Is when you light up a lightsaber, the plasma literally glows from the hilt of the weapon, right?
Yeah.
The Balrog sword, when he summons it, is no different. Flame grows from his hand. Boom. So I'm assuming that if he knows his spell could, his barrier could shatter that sword, if with a word he could shatter Saruman's staff, his magical staff, that he would think that he could do that. I would think so. I really do.
That's a good question.
Now, here is a question. We've seen that Glamoring has the ability to summon lightning and empower its blade. Could it parry attack from a lightsaber? Because we see Gandalf using it that way to block the attacks from the Balrog's flaming sword.
You know, okay, so we go to the Balrog a lot, but it's very important in this because he's such an enemy that is so great. Okay, so one thing we did talk about, he has a sword, right? It's on fire. Also, we're RPG players, so no doubt about it, that's not regular fire. That is hellfire.
Hellfire, yes.
So it's even stronger to stop that. And if he's able to deflect that using a lightning, now lightning supercharges stuff. We talked about it in the storm episode.
Uh-huh. I was just about to bring that up. And what does lightning basically break down to? Plasma.
It breaks down to plasma. Plus, if you hit something with lightning, it electrifies it. It charges an energy outburst that can blow stuff up. So his blade can absorb this and not blow it up. So what would happen if he swung a lightsaber into that? That's plasma going into that. And if it would almost ignite it, I think it would blow the lightsaber to pieces and blow it away from him if he were to do that. But then the lightsaber can cut through anything, but it's not cutting through anything. It's hitting the power of lightning. It's hitting energy before it hits the blade.
Yeah,
the energy is connected before the blade is, and I think it would explode. I never thought about it until I just put all that together. Yes, if he did that, the lightsaber would be gone.
So, now, I already brought up with the Narya ring protects him from fire, and we see Gandalf ride the Balrog all the way down below Lake Moria and never catch fire. Saruman's fire doesn't harm him at all. So, here's my thing. It protects him from fire, extreme fire, like we just said, hellfire. Could a lightsaber actually burn him?
That's the question, because you kind of bring it up, which we kind of know. The lightsabers really don't, I mean, I guess it technically burns stuff, but it don't really burn it like a normal fire would.
Yeah, it's plasma, it's not fire.
So, since it's oh man, this is a tough question. I honestly think that he could cut Gandalf with this thing, and I think it would cut him physically. Now, using some of the stuff we talked about to deflect it, that's a different story, but actually, can it harm him? I think it can, because I think the plasma acts different than fire.
It's hotter.
Yeah, it's hotter. And it's not really the fire that he can, I don't know, it's still heat.
To quote Otto Octavius in the greatest Spider-Man movie, the power of the sun in the palm of my hand. Yeah. Kind of what a lightsaber is, you know.
Okay, so going back to, okay, so the ring has fire. I mean, he obviously don't
get burned by this. Fire. And it makes sense because you always see Gandalf with the fight with the Balrog covered in soot, covered in ash. He's never burned. Like, and his fire, beard never burns, his hair never burns.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So like, how powerful is Sauron's magic? That's what it comes down to. How powerful is the magic that Sauron helped put into the ring compared against a lightsaber?
Because now I'm breaking down. I wish I would have did a little more.
This is where our show's become very long-winded.
The fire property, right? So what creates fire? You know, you got to have oxygen. You got to have all these energy sources to generate fire. So what makes plasma? You would think it would have to start the same way. So if those properties are in it, he could not hurt Gandalf.
Well, you got to think plasma from a lightsaber is not created like plasma that we could create normally. It's it's energy through a crystal.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
Like a plasma torch we use on Earth. You know,
see, that's what I was trying to break it down to. But it's technically, you're right. It comes from a crystal, so it's an energy source based off not the same way fire is made.
Yeah, but it's still plasma. So it's like, how do you see that compared to hellfire from a Balrog? You know, against the power of Sauron, because he's wearing the ring when he fights the Balrog. You just don't know it. It's invisible.
Yeah, it's invisible. This is the hardest question
for you henchmen out there. This is a question to ask yourselves. So, but here's the thing: Kenobi has a lot of ways to counter a lot of the stuff I brought up. For one, he could cut the staff in half, which really nerfs magic. If you think that's what would happen, that's where we go back to what I brought up earlier: how control of this raw power is Gandalf the White without a focus. You know, and that's kind of a D&D thing. You got to have a staff for focus for magic. You know. And here's the thing, Kenobi's got TK. He can take his staff from him. He can take Glamoring, the foe hammer, from him. And if he sees the ring, if he realizes the ring is a problem, he could TK the ring from him. And then we're back to this TK battle that we just talked about in the first question. That's why we set these questions up like this sometimes. So then we're back at square one. But that's all I've got.
This is interesting, this is good. I think this is the hardest question to ever ask on this show because there's so many properties going into it and there's so much going on between the TK, the not TK, the this. And I think it's going to come down to this. A counter question, I guess you could say, or a sub question is both these characters are very skilled in what they do, but they're also very crafty. So who can be more crafty in this particular instant? Because I think it might prevail. Something the other one did not predict would happen to get his weapon out of his hand, vice versa. Because I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Well, these are both very crafty fighters, so.
Yeah, so sorry to hit you with that.
No. That's very.
It's another layer to make this happen. But anyway.
Kenobi is more crafty with skill, physical skill, and Gandalf is more crafty with magics. Like the blinding thing, you know what I mean? So, and then like a crafty thing with the Jedi, you know, throw your lightsaber with telekinesis and bring it back like a boomerang. They don't expect it.
That's true. And sorry to interrupt. I'm just thinking of all this stuff that would go in here. So Gandalf hits light, right? And he blinds him. How long is a Jedi blind? Because he can use the Force to kind of feel around, know what's going on. But can he really target objects if he's blinded for that short period of time or long period, whatever it may be?
Well, that's where you have to decide how the Force works against an opposite universe.
Yeah.
The Force is in all living things. Gandalf is a living thing. So, I mean,
it's very fun. Sorry to.
It is. Well, that's why it's called crossover collision. That's why we named the podcast this. You know, it's a crossover. Whoa. It's a question you have to look into. That's why we never really give our answers to the questions. We pose them so people can figure out their own answers, and then we give our answers at the end of the show. So that's why we love doing this. That's why I'm glad we're back.
Yeah. So,
all right, final question. And we've alluded to a lot of this building up to it. Can Kenobi's Master of the Force telekinesis stop Gandalf's magic?
Oh, boy, we have went all over the place scooting around this question. All these questions going into this. And it all comes down to here's my answer that I wrote down on here before we started talking, like the general answer, like what I think would, and I still think it applies. I think that Kenobi's force could definitely stop a lot of magical attacks from Gandalf, because the force can propel things back. It can push things, kind of like what Gandalf does. Anything that Gandalf's using to like shoot at him, the force can block it. I really think it could. It could stop it getting through. The problem is, and I wrote this down beforehand, I think it will come into effect there, is against some of the spells that Gandalf uses, I think that the force does not stop them because they're different. And I'm talking about things like attack on the body, like anything that he would use to, like, for example, heat metal or something that would go affect something that Kenobi is wearing or the hilt. I thought of this before we even went into all that stuff. Different things that could he could affect his what he's wearing, what's on him, or hitting with things like light, things that don't attack him physically. They do something like to blind him. They do something to heat something. They do something to slow him down. Anything that could get through the force in that nature, I think that he would have a hard time blocking. But any of more of your deathly things, like his spells he can use to shoot people, his bolts, his energy projection, things like that, I think the force stops it. But I think it's the other things that can throw him off his game would be what got through it. So it's a two-way thing, but overall the force stops most of the deadly force impact stuff. But anything that's on the body, the clothing, the weapon, the armor, the hilt, the anything like that, I think Gandalf can manipulate. That's what I think. And I think he would eventually, depending on how long the fight went on.
Yeah, there's a lot that I agree with. But here is an interesting thing. We know that Kenobi is training the Jedi form, Karna Sorosu, which is a defensive lightsaber style, which is built to outlast your opponents. That's what he picked up after Darth Maul defeated Qui-Gon Jinn. So, I mean, his style is literally built for him to last in a fight. So maybe he could fight the Balrog for days. You know, just like Kenobi did. He might kill the Balrog before that. But, Jedi's deflect blaster bolts all the time. Plasma energy. I see no reason why he couldn't deflect, like you said, any bolts fired at him at all. And on top of that, he could use TK just to stop them. He doesn't even have to use his lightsaber. Now, the thing is, we've seen these more power. Okay, here's the thing. We've seen this Thunder Wave spell that Gandalf has. It's kind of like his favorite attack with a spell. And it's got an OE, and it's pretty powerful. Could he stop that with the Force?
Because
it's an OE attack.
I think you'd have a hard time blocking it because it's AOE, like a radius spell. And if you watch the movies or know anything about how that works, it don't target somebody. It targets everything around the area.
And the Force is used to project blast, the goblins and the blades, Goblin King.
Yeah, it projects everything like that backwards. And to sum it up, like, because that's a good point about the Thunder Wave. If he were to hit him with some type of Force pushback damage AOE that just pulls everything back, you see this happen all the time in the Star Wars franchise. When that happens, they drop their blade, but they can use telekinesis to pull it back. So in that instance, if he were to hit him with that, he was to drop that, how would that be? Because that could be an interesting, if they were to battle each other, that could be an interesting time in this fight, if he's able to jar that loose using something like that.
Okay.
And Gandalf does that a lot. But then again, Kenobi is really good about avoiding stuff like that, using the Force to manipulate we've talked about it before, his agility, his jumping potential. He can, like, dodge, jump over it, maybe. I don't know if you could do that or not, but if anybody could, it'd be a Jedi.
Well, think about that. It was like a dome. It's like Pulse Wave and Heroclix. Now, here's the one good defense that you might be able to say. Think of him with the Vader fight, how he just screamed and threw all the boulders at Vader. Like, is that enough push with the Force to, like, defend against that OEE attack? You know, because, like I said, you look at when he's fighting the Goblin King and the Goblins, I mean, he wipes out a huge chunk of them. The thing is, it doesn't seem like it hurts, is the thing. It just momentarily stuns.
Yeah, it just pushes things back into rocks, cliffs, anything like that. But the actual, like you're right, there ain't really damage to it.
Yeah.
It could make you drop something, possibly.
Yeah. But even in that case, he telekinesis the lightsaber at Kenobi.
Yeah.
I mean, at Gandalf, and he might not recognize it, brings it back to himself.
Yep.
But here's my thing. Jedis are smart. They really size up their opponents, and that's kind of like the Sith. They watch what they do, and they try to learn as the fight goes on. You also have to take in the fact that Gandalf always, with every spell, will lead with that staff. And any Jedi knows that you need to disarm your enemy. So he's gonna focus on trying to take that staff from Gandalf. So melee, he cuts it in half. I have no doubts he can cut it in half. We talked about a TK battle. He could pull that from Gandalf. And once you get that out of his, you know, his hand, then you have to talk about how well does Gandalf control his spells, his raw power, like we brought up, without a focus. So, I mean, there's a lot of good back and forth here to debate with what you see happening. So, yeah, that's about what all I've got here.
I agree. It all comes. We've talked about this before in the previous crossovers that we always do. We pick people's weapons. We pick how they would do with them or without them, and how easy it is to get them away from them. And it's one of the obvious an advantage and a disadvantage. And the advantage is he could probably get rid of that staff faster than he can get rid of the lightsaber. The problem is how powerful is he without the staff? Because he obviously, this watch brings a power. He's way strong. And even at this level, because he's like Gandalf, he's way up there. He's even stronger. So would it be uncontrollable?
Well that's the question. That's the question. We don't know what it's like for him to show this raw power without a focus. We don't know how well he controls it, pretty much.
Yeah.
So
Jedi's use that to their advantage. They use rage to use against you, unlike the Sith Lord.
Because a lot of times when Gandalf doesn't have a staff or a staff gets destroyed, we don't really see him using magic. For instance, think of the end of Return of the King. He's right side by side with Aragorn with Glamoring, and he charges right into battle. You mean he has no staff?
You think he's scared to use magic without the staff in those later videos?
I think he kind of is, because he's literally one of the most powerful people on Middle Earth.
Yeah,
I mean, so I kind of think that he is, but I mean, but we also have, okay, and here's the thing, just to kind of take this into consideration, and this is a lot of theater of the mind here, is he scared? Maybe. He might not be using his magic due to the amount of allies he's with in a big, full pitch battle, but now we're talking about a one-on-one fight. And think about it, when he was pretty much by himself, didn't know the hobbits were running around when he fought the three sisters. I don't know what they were called at the end of.
They called him a name, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. But he was kind of like letting loose on them guys. Like, because, and you know, he wasn't holding nothing back on them, because the hobbits were nowhere near him at first. You know, they were running around and hiding, and he didn't hold back against them. And that's kind of him, like, as a newborn.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much. I mean, he doesn't really know what he's capable of. So, but I don't have anything else to add to this, or anything just to throw out here at the end. You got anything you want to add just in general?
No, I don't have anything I'd add. This is a very, very good episode. A very good diving point. If somebody wanted to look up some of the things we talked about, because there's a lot of stuff to look into.
That there is. And I think we've did a pretty good job of laying it all out there. Before we go to break, we're going to hear from Matt from Hops Geeks News, who he thinks wins this matchup and why. When we return, we're going to discuss who we think wins between Kenobi and Gandalf.
Hey, what's up? It's Matt from Hops Geek News here to settle the debate of Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Gandalf, the gray or the white. But who I think would win in a battle, it's got to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. So both of these powerful, powerful beings, right? Gandalf has his magic, ancient magic. Obi-Wan uses the Force. Yes, he has a lightsaber, but when it comes down to just pure abilities, I think that Obi-Wan's a little bit more agile. I think he's able to use the Force and get past Gandalf with his Force abilities, despite Gandalf's ability with magic. And it's going to come down to that. Obi-Wan's going to get the high ground. He's going to go ahead. He's going to chop off Gandalf's hands, because that's just the savage Obi-Wan is. And he's going to win this battle. And that's kind of why I think that Obi-Wan Kenobi would win a battle between him and Gandalf.
And welcome back to the finale of Crossover Collision, brought to you by the Villains Man, myself, JBD, and Evan the Great, as we're going to decide who we think wins based on all the evidence we brought up between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Gandalf the White. Mr. Great, I usually let you go first. We've did the tell of the tape. We've discussed these three questions at pretty good detail, pretty good length. Give me your thoughts. Who do you think wins?
After much discussion, going over a lot of things, adding numbers, doing everything you would do, trying to find out the victor here, this comes down to, it's very hard to decide who is the winner out of this. So this comes down to two things for me that I think favor one over the other. Thing number one is the weapons they wield. We talked about this a lot, the staff, and then we have the lightsaber. Now, with the staff, Gandalf also has a few other magical items that he could use, but his main objective is the staff. And then Obi-Wan's main objective is the lightsaber. We went into detail on both what those do. So question number one, who can get that out of the other one's hand the quickest? And I think that that leads towards Obi-Wan. I think he can actually destroy the staff faster than Gandalf can do something about the lightsaber. And question number two that I went with is to ask myself along with these questions is, in one-on-one combat, who is actually greater? Because they both have a lot of feats of strength. Obi-Wan fights a lot of people one-on-one, but has he ever fought something like the Balrog? The question is, I don't know. I don't think so. But the Balrog is an opponent that Gandalf did fight for a long time. But Obi-Wan has multiple opponents one-on-one. So the first question is where I think that one of these has the advantage. I think if they were to combat each other, my vote goes for Obi-Wan. I think he wins this because he can take Gandalf's staff away, and then he's unpredictable with his power, and he might be scared to use some of it or not know how to control it. I think Obi-Wan has an advantage because I think he would try to go for that staff and he would have an easier way to get there. Like if he actually struck it, it would be done. Gandalf has to use a lot of magical properties to get the saber out of his hand. So I would go with Obi-Wan. Now, if I was picking a character outside of them fighting each other, I actually would go with Gandalf. But in this particular matchup, I'm going with the Jedi. I think that he has the potential to take the staff away, and I think that really changes this battle.
All right, so here is my opinions on this whole fight. So the most deadliest weapon in the Star Wars universe, the lightsaber, one of the most deadliest weapons we've ever covered on the podcast. I mean, yes. Lightsabers give people fits because defending against them is so hard. Well, Gandalf has every defense he needs for it, and I don't think it's a problem for him to defend it against. Now, in melee combat, I think gammering with the foe hammer, with, you know, being empowered with lightning, could block a lightsaber and have no problem in that. The thing is, I don't think that Gandalf is the better swordsman than Obi-Wan Kenobi. So can he defend against a lightsaber? Yes, he needs to do it at a distance. I don't think he should fight Kenobi up front with a lightsaber. But then you've got the blinding him because the staff is there. But the more Gandalf uses that staff, I think that Kenobi takes the staff away from him. But on the flip side, knowing how dangerous the lightsaber is, I think Gandalf is smart enough. Blind him. Block him with shield. Use these OEE effects against him. You know, anything to stop him from getting near me, and try to get the lightsaber away from him. And so then it comes down to range. I think Kenobi can block almost everything that Gandalf throws to him. And the thing is, most of Gandalf's spells, how we see him use them, I think Kenobi can take all that. And the thing is, you can disarm Gandalf and he's disarmed. I don't think when you disarm Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's not disarmed because he can use the Force to bring the lightsaber back to him. So that's the thing. And even when he's disarmed, he's not disarmed. He has the Force. When you take Gandalf's weapons away from him, he has his spells, but we really don't know exactly how powerful or how much control he has over so much power without that focus. And so that is the one glaring weakness in this fight. Gandalf needs a staff to really be himself and to be in more control to defend himself. And if you remove that, that's a pretty good advantage for Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think that just slightly pushes me to thinking and agreeing with you that Obi-Wan Kenobi wins it. I think Gandalf has everything he needs to defend Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't think he has a legit way to finish off Obi-Wan Kenobi. And the longer you leave Obi-Wan Kenobi in a fight, I think it's worse for you because he's going to figure out a way to defeat you. And so the longer this fight goes, which I think it will be a very long out, drawn out fight, I think that it does go to Kenobi. Barely.
You win.
Goodbye, old friend. May the Force be with you.
This is where you always would say, I need that 0.5. I need that point. I need that 0.1. Because the fact that, you know, if Kenobi can disarm the staff from Gandalf and destroy it, it's a huge advantage for him. And it flips the fight. And I think that's what helps. And I think that he barely edges the fight. So your victory,
I agree,
by unanimous decision, is Obi-Wan Kenobi. This fight was awesome.
It's very awesome.
Great. So our original plan was to do this after the Obi-Wan Kenobi series last year. Are you glad we waited until after Rings of Power? Well, we didn't really wait, but are you glad that Rings of Power actually, we got to watch that before you did this?
Yeah, it helped this a lot because you got more information on some of, you know, Gandalf's feats and everything. Plus, we got that time to consume and digest all of the Obi-Wan show. So, yes, so glad that we waited.
Okay, so if this was in Battlegrounds, do you think it would have made a difference?
Yes. If it was in Battlegrounds, there's certain, it would even be more chaos because some Battlegrounds have a lot of more objects and things that you can use to destroy, jump off of, leap around, that could give both of them advantages because the Jedi's ability to leap and use the Force to bounce off walls and do all this other crazy stuff. But then Gandalf's ability to use some of his AoEs to push you into walls where stuff could fall on top of you. There would be different elements that you can. It might be the same outcome, but I think it would even take longer to figure out who is the winner.
You're right, but I think certain battlegrounds would help Gandalf quite a bit.
Yeah,
but also in a way, the more objects you give for the telekinesis of the Force to be used with,
yeah,
the more ranged weapons you're giving Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, and it was weird because as we discussed this, it kind of come and even going in, I knew Gandalf has got a lot of power, but he's going to have to get rid of that lightsaber. So we spent all that time trying to figure out how he would get rid of the lightsaber just to find out that the lightsaber can get rid of his staff faster. And once we figured that out, it kind of led me in that direction. I was like, okay, yeah, that's the way it would go.
Yeah, because, I mean, you the lightsaber is, to me, is harder to destroy than the staff.
Yeah.
Because
the foe hammer,
the part you have to destroy is in his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can heat it and make him drop it, but then he's got a telekinetic weapon he can throw around, yes, or he can just bring it back to me. I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say about the foe hammer. I think that's really the only way to definitely, I think it could definitely maybe knock the lightsaber's hilt, blow it up, is if he used the foe hammer to like get lightning to hit it, because then the lightsaber would be hitting pure energy first before it hit the blade. And I think that could make an explosion to maybe damage that hilt. But that's a maybe circumstance.
Yeah, and like I said, it's hard to get to that hilt,
yes,
because it's in his hand.
Yes.
You know, heating metal is the perfect way to do that. Because I don't think he would win in a telekinetic battle for pulling out of his hand. But the staff, you know, Gandalf actually uses the staff in melee combat.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is cut the top off of it. Boop, it's done. Now, I brought up the ring protecting him from plasma because it's a legit thing. I mean, it protects him from the hellfire of, you know, the Balor, the Balor, mm-hmm. however you want to say it. And man, there is nothing in the lore of Lord of the Rings that tells you how hot the fire of a Balor is, or how hot the fires of Mount Doom are. And I looked and looked and looked, because you can pretty much tell how hot a lightsaber is. We've done it in past episodes. Yep. We discuss how hot freaking plasma is, you know, because basically it's kind of what, you know, DBZ character's energy breaks down into, is like plasma energy. And I looked and looked and looked and could not find nothing. But if there was definitive evidence that said that, hey, this is how hot all this stuff is and he doesn't burn, I think it sways this entire fight around.
Oh, it does. 100% sways it in the Gandalf direction.
Yeah, so
then it wouldn't kill him like I think it would.
No, it wouldn't kill him at all, because if he's protected from heat, and plasma does give off heat, but yeah. It doesn't give off heat because it's in that sphere. So when it hits him, that's when it comes into effect. And if it wouldn't burn him, which means it would not cut through him, because that's what it does. It does not. It's the heat that cuts through you, the intense heat, you know, basically because it's fire plasma, you know. If that wouldn't hurt him, Kenobi's got no way to defeat him besides knocking him out or incapacitating him. And I don't think he could incapacitate him with the Force. So he would have to find a way to knock him out, which is going to be extremely hard, because Gandalf's got every way he needs to keep him at a good distance. So
that is true.
So awesome episode. This was great, man. It feels great to get back and doing this again, don't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was fun to kind of look into this. It's fun to, I had the most fun actually just doing this. It's almost like we go over everything and we question it. We agree. We disagree. We kind of like come to a whole like composed answer. And even if it's wrong, in our humble opinion, we have come together to create a masterpiece.
I agree.
I mean, that's the way I see it. And I think people like to hear it. They can hate on it. They can love it. They still like to hear it. And I think that's what they've been missing. And we're going to give it back.
All right.
All year.
Yeah, all year. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. You can follow Crossover Collision on Twitter at CrossoverTVD, or wherever you follow The Villains Man on social media. You can follow myself on Twitter at JVD of TVD.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Evan the Great TVD. And like I said in the openings, I say all the time, if y'all guys want to suit us matchups, questions, answers, whatever, just feel free to do so.
Be creative.
Yeah.
That's what we look for. Something that's
Legless creative.
That makes things as interesting as this. Don't give us Captain America versus Batman. We don't want to do that. We've done it plenty of times. We've done it in two different ways. So we've did it in the old way of Battlegrounds, and we've did it in the question form. But if you like our music, check out tabletopaudio.com. Go support them guys on Patreon for $30 a month. But remember, guys, support your favorite podcast. Support your local comic book shops and keep reading comics, guys.
Don't give up. Challenge again.